Thank you for listening to this podcast from KX935, Laguna's only FM. We invite you to listen to more music and talk on our grassroots non-profit radio station in Laguna Beach, California, from anywhere in the world on kx935.com/listen or on our smartphone apps. But right now, here's that podcast from KX935.
I'm Marianne Williamson.
Jack Canfield.
Siobhan Poussomé.
I'm Doreen Virtue.
My name is Miguel Ruiz.
Hi, I'm Carolyn May.
This is James Van Praagh, and you're listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman.
Keep doing what you're doing, Greg, balancing the negative radio broadcast with positive energy.
Welcome. You are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman. And you know the drill, guys. Sex, relationships, dream interpretation, personal growth. We talk about it all. The bottom line is this show is all about you. You are the magic. We just help you realize it. We introduce you to pathways and possibilities, but we don't tell you what to do because ultimately that's your job. That's your responsibility. And that's the path to your own empowerment. And trust me, you guys are going to need to buckle in tonight, because we got some rocking and rolling that we are going to do tonight. Hold on one sec, and we will be back with more Inner Journey, and in a little bit, our guest, Dr. Susan Block.
Take much more, girl. I'm losing control.
I want your sex.
Welcome back. You are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman on KX93.5 FM, community-supported radio in Laguna Beach. And in a little bit, we're going to be on with Dr. Susan Block. Dr. Susan Block is a brilliant woman who has been on the forefront of sexual expression for as long as I can remember, and with a greater, more consistent message than anyone I've ever run into with this. And she is just going to rock your world, not because anything she's going to be talking about regarding sexuality is going to be so crazy, but because exactly the opposite. It's going to be approached with such an intelligence and a wisdom. And that's what I really admire about Dr. Susan Block. But before we get to her, you know, you hear a lot of people talk about being their authentic self, being real. I have to be who I am. All right, fair enough. But a lot of people, including people I know very, very intimately, decide that being authentic and being indulgent are synonymous. You know, you're not going to necessarily go to a black tie fair wearing a Speedo. It's not that you can't. Well, maybe you can't. But if you were permitted to, odds are you ain't gonna. Maybe that is your authentic self. But there's set and setting. And there's an understanding that authenticity doesn't mean that I just get to indulge any kind of whim that I want because I feel the need, the desire, the interest. You have to understand, every single thing that you do is going to have a ramification. And people look at that word as though it's a negative. And ramification really, really isn't. Ramification could be getting a paycheck for going to work. Ramification could be somebody really adoring you because you're kind, considerate, compassionate, empathetic. A ramification could also mean that you're a drunken fool and you're drinking to the point of idiocy and you get thrown out of a bar. Ramifications come in all kinds of different colors and forms and different set and settings. And you have to ask yourself, right this second, am I being authentic? Am I being me? Or am I being indulgent? And to do your best not to confuse the two of those. We'll be back with more Inner Journey with Greg Friedman and our guest, Dr. Susan Block, right after this.
Such a lovely place. Mercedes, rodea chico guapo, llama a mi amigo. Cuando va en el patio, perfuma de verano, a que viene para recordar y otra para olvidar. Le pide el capitán que sirva el vino, y me dijo: no amo, tenido el talcón. Desde sentí de nueve la voz que llamando, desde yo a despertar la noche para decir: welcome to the hotel California. Such a lovely place. Such a lovely place. Welcome to the hotel California. Such a lovely place. Such a lovely place.
En el espejo, en el techo, el champán en el hielo. Y ella dijo: somos todos prisioneros por propia voluntad. Y a los cuatro principales hacen su siesta, atacan a la bestia, pero no la logran matar.
Mi último recuerdo, corriasen de la puerta, debió encontrar el camino por donde había llegado. El Enrique portero, con eso no recibir, puede salir cuando quiere, pero nunca de partir. Welcome to the Hotel California. Such a lovely place, such a lovely place, such a lovely place. Welcome to the Hotel California. Such a lovely place, such a lovely place, such a lovely place.
Listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman on KX 93.5 FM, community-supported radio in Laguna Beach, California. Welcome back. You know, I say it every night that I have the privilege to spend time with you. You are the magic, and we just get to help you realize it. And that's a pretty special gift that you allow. Thank you very much. Tonight, we are here with Dr. Susan Block, our normal partner in crime. Susan Huff is not available for the evening. However, if you want to get a hold of her, she is a brilliant woman that I have the privilege of doing a lot of workshops all over the world with now. We are both going to be teaching in India later this year. But if you want to get a hold of her in the interim, she's got a lot of other cool things. She's got a workshop she's teaching in France in August and a couple of others locally here in Laguna Beach. Her web address is livingyourgifts.com. Dr. Susan Huff, welcome to Inner Journey.
Me?
Oh, Dr. Susan. Sorry, Dr.
Know,
Susan Block.
I just said Dr. Susan. That are
too
so
many,
close.
Too
I
many
was wondering
Susans.
When you were going to mix them up.
Right?
I would
off the chart.
Right.
Why not just start with it?
Yeah, that's fine. So right. I could be Dr. Susan Huff.
Susan Huff is not able to do our email questions with us,
oh.
And you have done that with
I
us.
I want to meet Susan Huff.
She is.
She's got to be my Susan sister.
Could be.
And the fact that she just mixed us up makes us, you know, sisters.
Okay.
Sister Susan. Let's meet you.
Last time you were here, you did email questions with us.
Mm-hmm. And I love it.
I saved a couple that seem right up your alley. So why don't we just jump into the deep end?
Oh, yeah.
We have Justine from here in Laguna Beach. And she says, my friends all talk about their sexual exploits. And they talk about doing all kinds of wild things in these wild positions or places. And I simply like missionary and sometimes a little something else, and that works fine for me. Am I a freak?
Wow, that's all convoluted. It's like, am I a freak for not being a freak?
Right.
I guess, you know, if that's the way you want to think of yourself. A lot of people like to be a freak. It sounds like she's sort of wanting to be one, but, you know, she only likes missionary and what we call vanilla sex, which is very hot. I mean, missionary is, you know, super hot. That's one reason all those Christian missionaries were doing it in the jungle or wherever they kind of started calling it that. And I mean, I don't see anything wrong with sticking to that. And at the same time, she sounds like she feels a little weird in her particular group. So maybe she should explore some new things and get freaky.
I really want to hear what vanilla sex is from you in 1 second. But first, I want to respond to Justine. And my answer is very different than Dr. Susan Block's. No, you're not a freak. And no, you don't have to explore if you don't want to. If you feel the inclination, by all means, play with it in a way that works for you. If you don't, and this works for you, mazel tov, enjoy. Just understand that this, again, in what Don Miguel Ruiz shared with us when he was a guest, you are the author of your own story. If your story works for you the way you're writing it, then don't write it differently in order to suit the people around you. Let them do whatever knocks their socks off, and you do whatever knocks your own socks off. It's that simple.
Well, that's very wise counsel, Greg, and you are very wise. And I tend to be more of a little mischievous trickster instigator. And I just feel that why is the gal even asking about it unless she really wants somebody to say, go for it, girl, get freaky.
Because I think what she's feeling is all my friends are doing this. Am I a big weirdo for not? It's what I'm hearing.
She knows she's not. She knows she's not a weirdo for liking missionary. Come on. She's just looking for somebody to say, yeah, girl, go for it.
Oh,
do some of those things that you've been thinking about in the back of your mind, that some of those taboo things maybe. You know, just make sure it's consensual and just make sure that you know, you're safe and sane and consensual. But explore. This is the only life we have to live that we know of. And Lord and Lady knows there's a lot of sex negativity in our culture these days.
Right.
So I feel even more than ever in a way, even though you're right, I've been doing this a long time. But I feel it's important to be sex positive, pro-sex.
Right. But sex positive to me, and I agree with what you said, primarily consensual.
All consensual. However, amen and amen.
Yup. However, I really do look at what Justine is saying and hear her saying, look, everybody around in this society today is saying, go swing from a tree. When porn is so prevalent, and it's so prevalent to the point where just ordinary stuff isn't getting a lot of people as excited as they would have beforehand.
I think there's a lot of reasons that people aren't getting excited lately. I think there's a lot of stresses and pressures, and it's difficult. I don't want to blame porn myself, but porn is out there, you know. For some people, it's a lifesaver.
Oh, yeah, I'm not knocking porn. What I'm saying instead is that with such a plethora, with such an inundation, then the same old thing becomes mundane. And so a lot of people are going further and further and further, which is not a bad thing. But if you're still one of those people that gets really excited, really intrigued by something that isn't swinging from a chandelier, that's fantastic.
Sure. I think maybe she's going to benefit from both of our points of view.
It couldn't hurt. All right, let's take a couple others. We're going to go for one that isn't so sexual. Let's see what we got.
Oh.
Sorry, I mean...
I'll make it sexual.
Of course you
will. Don't you worry.
I have complete faith in you. All right, we have... This is a good one. Deborah from Woodland Hills.
Okay.
I want to get a divorce from my husband.
Ooh.
He and I have gone to therapy, and it seems hopeless. But to be totally honest, I don't want to give up my lifestyle financially,
ooh,
predominantly. Any suggestions?
Wow. Well, she should get Michael Avenatti as a lawyer. I don't know. I mean, it sounds like she's really, it's not about sex. It's, but it is. It's about, you know, she kind of has a lifestyle that she wants to support. And so she doesn't want to be with this guy that supports it.
So what are you going to suggest to her?
Well, I think she has a reckoning coming to her, which is, do you want to be, you know, a sex worker, which is nothing wrong with that, in my opinion, but that's what you would be if you do whatever he wants you to do, this man you don't want to be married to anymore, mm-hmm, in exchange for your lifestyle, then you're, a very nice sex worker. But I don't know that she wants to do that. She needs to consider what she wants to do. Does she want to be free sexually, and not just sexually, of course, but, you know, relationship-wise? But the key is, I don't know, I'm maybe focused on the sex. She doesn't say why she wants to divorce this guy. I'm just figuring he's bad in bed. But who knows?
It could be a million things.
But obviously, it's not his money that's the problem.
Right.
That's not the lifestyle we like, darling. We want to keep that going. So there's, my guess is it's probably something very personal. You could say spiritual. I might say sexual. Something's missing she doesn't like about him. Maybe she never liked it.
But
maybe she married him for his money to begin with, and now the reckoning is coming.
Possibly. But if I'm hearing you, and I want to just state this back to you, did you say that if she stays, then essentially she is prostituting herself for her lifestyle and for the money?
And let me just tell you that I have utmost respect for prostitutes and all kinds of sex workers, and I see nothing wrong with it. But yes, that's what she's doing.
So this sounds a lot like what I was talking about earlier in the monologue, that everything that you do is going to have ramifications.
Yeah.
And the bottom line, Deborah, yeah, here is whatever those ramifications are for staying and not sacrificing your lifestyle, are you willing to pay? And if you go in that with your eyes wide open, to the best of your understanding, then it's a choice and you're not being a victim.
Mm-hmm.
But understand what you're choosing and choose it with awareness instead of feigning that you're some victim of circumstance.
You know, we totally agree about that.
You say that like you're surprised we agree about a lot of things. We're allowed to disagree, too.
I don't know. I thought with the other one, we were off on this argumentative
track. All right, let's go argue again. I'll give you another sex one. How's this?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Sex.
Elaine from Laguna Beach,
ooh,
said, I recently went to a sex party.
Ooh.
And I'm the kind of girl who is up for anything at almost any time. But when I went to this party, it just seemed like everybody was trying a bit too hard to be sexual. And it lost its allure for me, and I wasn't turned on at all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be judgmental of myself or them, but it seemed a bit sad. Will you help me get some perspective?
Is she the sister of the other one?
Yeah.
I mean, they're both these good girls who try to be wild and freaky, and then they don't want to be.
Well, that's not what I'm hearing from Elaine. From Elaine, I'm hearing she likes being wild and freaky, and she went to this one event, and she found a group of people that it looked like they were trying really hard to be wild and freaky instead, mm-hmm, of just being their authentic sexual expression.
Well, it sounds like she didn't have chemistry with that group. I myself wouldn't judge a particular group as trying too hard as a person who's had many sex parties, and some of them I try very hard. And some of them just flow. You know, it depends. And I don't have anything against people to try hard. But I think that she didn't have chemistry with that particular group. And that's a killer. It's like, you know, you plan to have sex and then, I don't like the person, in this case, the people. So, you know, then it's not going to work. And I guess, you know, you can either give up on sex parties, which I would never advise, mm-hmm. or you just figure out really what kind of sex party you want. I mean, just going to a sex party is not enough. That's just like saying, I'm going to get married. You have a whole bunch of types of people you could marry. Well, there's a whole bunch of types of sex parties, you know, from LA to Tehran. They even have sex parties in Tehran. If they get caught, they have to get smacked by the comita, which some people might find sexy, but it's really terrible and they can go to jail for it. Not that people don't sometimes go to jail for sex parties here in America, too. It's a kind of an underground, dangerous thing to do. So it's it's legal, but it's risky. So there's many different kinds, and it's not like McDonald's where it's a franchise, you know.
Okay, there are so many things that you just said that were fascinating. Okay, and we'll come back to you, Elaine, I promise, but I'm going to get distracted for a while, and I'm okay with that. I hope you are, too.
Oh, yeah.
All right, you've been to a lot of sex parties. You've thrown a lot of sex parties. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been to one where you looked around and you went, people are trying too hard to be sexy here or trying too hard to be sensual here? It's felt pushed.
No, I never say that. I never feel that. I do feel sometimes I don't like these people. I don't like them. I don't feel they're trying. I mean, when people try hard, I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. I'm not one of those people that I don't know. I think authenticity can come across through making plans, and yet the best laid plans may not get you laid the way you planned. So, you know, you have plan B. And
okay.
I think that some people, you know, might come across as trying too hard, and that might turn some people off. It doesn't turn me off when people try hard.
So what's been a great positive experience at a sex party for you?
Oh, wow. Just being in the middle of a cluster. I don't know if I can say that.
You can't say that.
No.
But
well,
thank you for the break. I really appreciate that.
I stopped myself. See, I'm a good girl, too.
Tell me, and what made that phenomenal for you?
Oh, because it's orgiastic. You're really connecting with all these different people in a sensual, sexual way. And it's a beautiful thing. It just connects you to all of life, and we always are all connected, but we forget about that. We walk around in these sacks of separation, and we're not really separated. We're the same. We're connected. I mean, I feel that connection through sex. I felt it when I almost died. I feel it, you know, very rarely, certain drugs I won't mention, but you know, I'm too old to take those drugs now. So sex is a great way to feel that connection. And when you're with a group of people that are engaging erotically, whether or not you're having intercourse, missionary position, or you're just touching and kissing and massaging and spanking, you know, it's a beautiful exchange of erotic energy. Where do we get to do that except for maybe on a dance floor, you know? But it's great to be in an orgy, where you get along with people, where everybody has chemistry.
We have to take a short break.
Yeah.
But when we come back, you're in the middle of all that, and I know that you're connecting on a very physical level. When we come back, I'd like you to explain if and or how you connect on a psycho-spiritual level in that same environment. You're listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman. And even though we haven't officially introduced her, we're here with Dr. Susan Block. And we'll be right back after a station ID. You are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman on KX 93.5 FM, community-supported radio in Laguna Beach, California. Thank you.
is a burning thing. Oh, yes, it is. And it makes, yeah, it makes a fiery rain. Girl, you know I'm bound and I'm bound by wild desire. Oh, yes, I am, baby. Because I fell into your ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, down, down. Said, whoa, the flame went higher. And it burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire. Your ring of fire. Fire. Like I was meat. Have mercy, baby. So I done fell for you like a child, like a little bitty baby. But that doggone fire went wild. Tell you, baby, that thing went crazy. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, down, down. Said, oh, the flame went higher. And it burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire. Your ring of fire. Burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire. That ring of fire. Burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire. Your ring of fire.
Welcome back. You are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman on KX93.5 FM. Community supported radio in Laguna Beach, California. And even though she has not been officially introduced yet, we are here with Dr. Susan Block, and she's been kind enough to jump in and take some of your email questions with me because Susan Huff's not available. But again, if you would like to find out more about Susan, it's livingyourgifts.com. And Dr. Block, as long as we're giving out website addresses, if people want to find out more about you.
Me?
You.
Wow. Okay. Well, it's just my name, drsusanblock.com.
Is it DR period or just
no
DR?
No periods. No, no,
no. No.
Period
no, no.
Free.
Okay. Now, before we left for break, and I'm not even going near that. Before we left for break, I asked you a very specific question. So in the middle of all of these kind of experiences, when you are in the middle of one of your own sex parties and you are the center of attention with a whole bunch of touching and caressing and whatever else may be going on, of course there's physical sensations. Mm. And they feel lovely in this human form. But do you also feel a psychosexual intimate connection to people as you're doing, as you're engaging?
Otherwise, what fun would it be? I mean, I'm all into physical sensations, but there has to be a psychosexual element to all of it. You know, you want to be with people you like as well as are attracted to and that you connect with and that help you to feel that connection with all of nature.
And have you ever been in the opposite when there hasn't been a connection?
Oh, yeah, sure. You can very often wind up in the wrong orgy, right?
You have to extricate yourself.
It's not easy.
What makes the wrong orgy?
Bad smells, people that don't wash. I guess, you know, lack of chemistry, whether physical or psychological or even that spiritual thing, you know, where you think, wow, these people are beautiful and they smell good and they feel good. I'm just not in the mood. And you can't connect. And then you shouldn't. You shouldn't force yourself.
And I just find all of this very fascinating. And what is it that you get that's greater with a greater number of people than a one-on-one experience? Or is there something more
greater
that you get?
It's not. I mean, my great love is right over there. That's Prince Maximilian R. Lobkowitz, D. Filangieri.
You're a prince now.
He is. He actually is a prince. We call him Captain. That's what he plays on the show. But he's a real prince. On his Italian side, the Filangieris. Mm-hmm. And on his father, Czech side, is the Lobkowitz. Castles and beer and all kinds of stuff. Sheep. But anyway, so he's my prime mate, you know. I am human. I am not bonobo. Mm-hmm. I love the bonobos. I follow the bonobo way. But I do have a partner that I've been married to for over 26 years. So that to me is the deepest form of love for me. But I like to party.
Okay. And so help me compare and Elaine, again, I promise we will get back to your question. But
it was about sex parties, though.
Oh, yeah,
so
absolutely.
We're definitely talking about her question.
We're in the neighborhood. We're not exactly addressing her directly. Compare and contrast the distinction between your primate experiences and your, I don't know, how would you, and your orgiastic experiences. For those people that don't understand, that have never had any kind of experiences like that, benefits of one, costs of one, benefits of the other, and cost of the other.
Wow. Well, that could, you know, take up a whole book. But okay.
Sounds like a good book to me.
Yeah. Actually, it's taken up a few of my books because I'm always thinking about that. And I do believe that for me, maybe not for everybody, mm-hmm. that the costs and benefits of both are so profound that I do like to keep both kind of going.
And I'm not arguing that point at all. I'm just trying to have it communicated the distinctions.
Yes. Okay.
Between them.
Well, certainly there, many people have expressed the benefits of loving one person. Yeah. And for me, I mean, there's so many benefits, but one in particular stands out, which is that Max is my witness in my life. And he's part of all these adventures and misadventures that I've gone through for over 26 years. Mm-hmm. And that is so valuable. That is worth so much more than even the greatest sex party in the world, is just having someone that you're close to, that knows you, that really knows you, and that's been with you through the ups and the downs, and knows you sexually as well as psychologically and spiritually and physically in other ways than sex, you know, knows you as you age and what you've gone through. And that's just such a gift. That's like an angel in your life.
I got to tell you, before we go on to the other side of the coin, I have heard intimate relationships described in innumerable different ways. But having a partner described as a witness is so beautiful on many, many different levels, because a witness infers that you are seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we so desperately, each one of us, would like to be recognized, to be seen.
Yes, to be seen and to be listened to.
Yeah.
Can I get a witness? I shouldn't bang on your table, I know. But it's a spiritual thing. It's like a witness to my spirit, to my life, to every aspect of it. And so that's incredibly important. But on the other hand, it has its downside in that that person knows everything about you. You can't pretend you're something else. You can't be that inauthentic, cool thing that you want to be. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, because you're an actress or a performer and you like to try on different masks and things.
Or hats.
And hats. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. So it's fun to do that with other people. But, you know, not to the point where you're cheating and you lose your witness. So...
And so if I heard you correctly, what you were saying in between the lines was part of what you get from the group experience is the almost the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. The mm-hmm. I don't have to be seen, and therefore I could be any mask I want. And why not play dress up naked?
Right. Right. It's fun to play different things, whether you're playing Dom or Sub or, you know, Wild Woman or... know, nasty man, you know, it's fun to play different things. And you can do that with your partner, but there's a different side to doing that with strangers or friends. I mean, bonobos give the perfect example because they love to have sex with friends. That's a great thing. But if given a choice, they will choose the stranger to have sex with.
We are here with Dr. Susan Block, and her website is drsusanblock.com. Right now, you probably mentioned bonobos a number of different times because mm-hmm. I've had the pleasure of reading your book. I understand what you're talking about. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about what bonobos are and what book I just referenced and so many other things. You are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman, and we'll be back right after this. You are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman on KX 93.5 FM, community-supported radio in Laguna Beach, California.
Take that town and shake it around. Yo, my, 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 my. Take that town and shake it around. Yo, my, my, my.
Welcome back. You are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman on KX93.5 FM, community-supported radio in Laguna Beach, California. And we keep telling you every single night, the monsters are not under the bed. Baby, they in your head. So what you going to do about them? Because you do not have to live with them, because so are the angels. All right. Tonight, we are here with Dr. Susan Block, who I still have not officially introduced and will not in this very moment. Thank you very much for joining us.
We're going to save my official introduction till the end.
Well, at some point we'll get there. I'm going to just go back and read Elaine's question again because it's been so long since we... And I do want to answer her. It's really important. Yes. Elaine from Laguna Beach asks, I recently went to a sex party and I'm the kind of girl that is up for almost anything, almost any time. But when I went to this party, it seemed like everybody was just trying a little too hard to be sexual, and it lost its allure to me, and I wasn't turned on. I don't want to be judgmental of myself or them. It just seemed a bit sad. Can you help me with some perspective? Let's address her real quick, if we could, Susan.
Well, she shouldn't go back there for a sex party. I mean, that's my answer, really. I don't want to make judgments about all sex parties or, you know, whether those people are really sad. Maybe she's really sad. Sometimes when you look at people and you go, oh, they seem really sad, you're actually the sad one.
Yeah, that's a really good point, and I agree with that entirely. And I also agree that for whatever reason, Elaine, what you're saying is this is not the appropriate environment for you.
Right.
That you need to listen to. You need to hear yourself saying that. It doesn't mean that this kind of experience isn't appropriate for you. It may, but it's not necessarily that. And right now, what I heard you say also is that, yeah, sometimes when people, we've all seen people trying to act very sexy. And you go, oh, God, that's such a turnoff, because you're acting sexy instead of just being your lovely, sexual, sensual self. And that may be what you're experiencing. It's hard to say what it is without speaking to you directly, but what we asked for is what you, what we provided is what you asked for, some perspective. And that's all you could ask for.
I try hard.
I try
to be sexy. At my age, you have to. If you don't try, then you aren't.
Really?
Yeah.
You think that if you don't try to be sexy, you ain't sexy? There aren't
right.
some people...
Right. You got to be motivated. You got to try.
There aren't some people that are naturally sexy and sensual and...
Yeah, some.
I love that, the way you said that. Yeah, well, you know, like once in a blue moon, you come across
yeah,
one of those
exactly.
people.
Exactly. It's great to try to put it out there, to try new things. To not just have to feel like you have to fall back on old ways or, you know, the way you were brought up.
Mm-hmm.
But to try something new. I think people are, you know, I'm all for being authentic. But if it means that you only have to be yourself and you can't try new things or be a different character, then I'm not for it.
No, and I loved it when you were talking about you and Max, your significant other. Because it's the feeling of being seen, mm-hmm. being witnessed in your words, which I thought was a fantastic word. And then having the experience of opening up without having to be seen in the same way or on the same level
yeah.
provides a whole different set of gratifications.
And I think it helps you to stay married because... If your life is over and you don't get to interact erotically with other people, I think that that puts too much pressure on your significant other.
So are you suggesting that you can't have a healthy monogamous relationship?
Well, I'm kind of monogamish.
Monogamish?
Yeah.
Okay. Explain, Lucy.
With a hat tip to Dan Savage, who created that term, I think, although it's one of those terms that's been floating around.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, it just means that you're you know, you're mostly together and maybe fluid bonded, or you know, you do that missionary thing only with one person. Yeah, that special thing.
No, no, no. You got to go back, because there's a term that you just trippingly let flow off the tongue.
Yes.
Fluid bonded.
Yes. Where you only, you know, have body fluid exchanging sex with your significant other, but you might have other forms of sex, whether it's using barriers like condoms, or it's just engaging in outer course like spanking.
Mm-hmm.
Or splosh, or massage, or dirty dancing, you know.
And are you suggesting that you can't have a really great, healthy sexual relationship with just one person?
Well, I think it's difficult. I think you can, but I think that humans are not naturally monogamous. I think it's a good thing to be monogamous, but it's not natural. And so if you put a lot of pressure on yourself to just be with that one person and make them your everything and not have these interactions with other people, it's very difficult. And we see that in our culture, in these people coming apart at the seams and having sex, you know, approaching people for sex inappropriately, like in the workplace where it's not right, or trying to use their leverage against people, and then other people not knowing how to react. And it's a tough situation when the society says you can only put all your sexual eggs in one basket, pun intended.
Okay. Now, you said that humans are, you feel like they're not predominantly monogamous sexually.
No, we're like bonobos, who are our closest cousins, and we're like common chimps, who are our other closest cousins. And bonobos are the make love not war chimpanzees that swing through the trees as well as with each other.
Okay, here's where I was going with that question. Do you feel like both genders, one tends more to monogamy, or one tends more to multiple sexual experiences for gratification? Or do you think it's pretty much not something that's split according to gender lines?
I don't think it's split according to gender lines, but I do think it's easier for women to be inauthentic about our sexual desires. Men kind of have to be authentic unless they're taking Viagra.
I have so many things I want to ask you about just based on that last statement. But before we have went through our first hour, but before we go into the next hour, bonobos have been mentioned a number of different times throughout this hour. Talk to people about your book very briefly, because we have about a minute before we have to go for our break.
The Bonobo Way, The Evolution of Peace Through Pleasure, is based on the real life bonobos who are kissing cousins, and they're highly endangered, by the way, and we should help to save them from extinction, because they're really inspirational, especially in these very divisive times. Bonobos are very inclusive. They empower the females. They could teach the Me Too movement a thing or two, but the males are happy. Male well-being is important, as is female empowerment. It all creates peace through pleasure, sex, good sex, consensual sex, and no bonobo has ever been seen killing another bonobo in the wild or captivity. So there.
And it's so there. And if people want to find out more about you or get a hold of the book, how would they go about doing that?
Well, it's on Amazon, The Bonobo Way, and we also have a website, thebonoboway.com, and we have a community, bonoboville.com, for bonobo sapiens like us.
Bonobo sapiens. We are here with Dr. Susan Block. You are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman, and we'll see you in the next hour.
My name is Greg Friedman. I am a modern version of those that have existed in every culture. I am a guide. For years, I have taken people all over the world to work with indigenous elders in exotic locations, only to show you that you are the magic. And we just help you realize it. It can be terrifying to look at our fears, and sometimes even more so to look at our strengths. I take you out into the wild, into the unknown, for an inner journey.
Welcome back. You are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman. And this evening we are here with Dr. Susan Block. And even though she was kind enough to join us for the entire first hour, you never really got a proper introduction.
Proper. I don't stand on ceremony.
What do you do? You sit on ceremony?
I might sit down on someone's ceremony.
All right. She is a Yale University graduate, magna cum laude, a sex therapist, known for her amazing HBO specials, a leading international champion of sexual education, sexual empowerment. Her latest book is The Bonobo Way, The Evolution of Peace Through Pleasure. And, Susan, what's your magazine that you just came out with?
Speaking of latest, we have The Birth of a Magazine. Dun, 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 dun. The Speakeasy Journal, Dr. Susan Block's Speakeasy Journal, published by Maximilian Lubkowitz, who is also the publisher of many other magazines that we have here, actually. Some of you who are in the neighborhood for a long time might remember Beverly Hills, the magazine, and the, I don't know, do we have the Brentwood blah blah? It doesn't matter. This is radio. But Max published all these magazines in print, as well as magazines with me, Dr. Susan Block's journal.
But what is this one? Wait. What's that one that you just had in your hand?
Oh, this is the one where I ran for president.
Dr. Susan Block ran for president.
I did.
And also, you probably don't know this, she ran for vice president in another election as well.
I am politically, engaged.
You have had radio programs in syndication all over the world. You've had HBO specials. You've had television specials. And you also have a television show on now. Can you tell us a little bit about that one, please?
Oh, yeah. That's the Dr. Susan Block Show, which airs pretty much live every Saturday night. And, of course, our Facebook crowd who's watching now. Hi, Facebook crowd. Tunes in on Saturday Night Live. And, of course, you only see a censored version. This show is, the uncensored version isn't that much more exciting, at least not yet. But in our regular Dr. Susan Block Show, which we've been airing for, almost 30 years, I think.
30 years,
yeah,
really?
Yeah.
And how long is the was the radio show going on for?
I was doing radio on KIEV, then KFOX, then the Independent Broadcasters Network. So basically until 1994. From 1985 to 1994.
Girl, you've been busy. All right. You have answered this question before, but a lot of people don't know. This is one of those questions that I ask every single guest when they come on the show. We've had teachers and authors and artists and shaman and medicine men and people of service, so many different pathways and possibilities. And to a person, there was a catalyst or a series of events that really thrust them on their path. No pun intended.
Yeah.
Is that true of you as well?
On my inner journey.
Exactly.
Thrust in my inner journey. Never mind. Okay, so yeah, I know. You asked me this question before. It always feels like I'm in a test when I get this question. No, there's no one thing. Greg, no.
Well, you guys told me off air about a time, and you did this because you were being incredibly kind to me because I was going through a lot of ordeals last year around my family. Mm-hmm. And you guys, both you and Max, shared something incredibly intimate with me about an experience that you had with the hospital.
Oh, yes, my near-death experience. I don't know if that put me on the path that I'm on, but it certainly made me realize how much I wanted to be on that path, so much that even though death felt luxuriously easy and living felt incredibly painfully hard, I opted for living.
And you're talking about having this debate, for lack of a better way of expressing it.
It felt like that. Maybe it really wasn't up to me. Probably not. It probably had a lot more to do with nature and my doctors. But I did feel like there was a debate going on within me about whether I would live or die.
And there's a lot of things that you experienced, and there was a lot of things that Max experienced while he was outside witnessing all of this.
And, my witness.
And your witness. I love that so much. And one of the things that you had talked about was how it felt incredibly oppressive in that coma and how it felt like you were really being... Abused is too strong a word.
No, it felt like I was being abused. I had a breathing tube. I was intubated. Mm. If you've ever been intubated or you've seen someone, especially someone you love who's been intubated, you know how horrific it is. You've got, you know, it's a forced plastic, can I say BJ? In the worst sense, and I love, you know, good BJs, but this was non-consensual, although it was saving my life, but it felt so horrible and so violated and so abusive. Mm-hmm. And of course you're on all these incredible drugs that make you not realize that, you know, these people that are healing you, these nurses and doctors, seem like they're out to get you and harm you, and because they're administering all this pain. It's a house of pain. And, it does feel like dying is easier.
And I understand that really well. And then in the middle of all this, and any of you who have ever had somebody very near and dear to you know those times where in the middle of the night when your loved one is... as comfortable as they're going to get for the moment, and you give yourself a break, and you wander down to this very empty cafeteria in the middle of the night that's shadows and cold. And and Max did that one night, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He should come on. Can he get, like, one of these mics and tell his experience of going into that cafeteria?
Max, are you up for that?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Of course.
Did he say yeah?
Yes.
All right.
I'd love to tell his experience.
Hey, Max, welcome to Inner Journey.
Yes,
hi,
Max,
hi,
publisher of Speakeasy Journal, among other things.
All right,
among
Max.
Many, many things.
So I believe in angels, and she was dying. And one morning when I got kicked out from the intensive care unit, I went downstairs to have something to eat. And I had the L.A. Times, and I was reading the news, and this woman walks up to me in a beautiful white dress with jewelry, and she says, "You're Max, aren't you?" I said, "Yes, of course."
And you've never seen this woman?
Never saw this woman, ever. And I said, "Yes." And she says to me, "I just want to let you know that Susan is going to be okay." And I got goosebumps.
Yeah, I got them right now.
Yeah.
I said, I, excuse me, are you a doctor? No, but I looked at her records. Oh, you're a nurse. No, I just want to let you know that she's going to be fine. And I turned around because I wanted to say, could you please sit down with me? And I want to talk to you about this. And when I looked up, it was a second. She was gone. And I looked around and I said, excuse me, did that woman, and everybody looked at me like it was very strange, what woman? And the door was right by this table, and I went to the security guard that was there, and I said, there was a woman here, did you see where she went? And he says, no, sorry. And I started to feel like, okay, I'm nuts. But it was real, and it was some spirit from somewhere that that came to me, because I was in such drastic pain, and to lose her would have been to lose my life. And she said, "It's okay. It's going to be okay."
I love that story.
Beautiful.
I'm telling you guys both are incredible storytellers, and I've been blessed to hear hundreds from each of you, and that by far and away is still my favorite. I mean, it's just such a beautiful statement of love and caring. And Max, as long as I have you on the air for another second.
I'm getting kicked off already.
No.
I'm just teasing.
Make yourself comfortable.
Yes.
How do you feel about being a witness?
You know, in life, we all need to have a witness. And that's literally whether we're in court, mm-hmm. whether it's in our neighborhood, to have a witness, to someone, have to someone who sees you and cares about you, mm-hmm. and witnesses your experience and the experience that we have together is really very, very nice. And I've been to court a few times, so you always you always need a witness. And she is my witness, and I'm her witness. And we, we're traveling through life with angels and so forth. Yeah.
I love it. All right, you guys, we're going to take a short break and get back on to Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll. We are here with Dr. Susan Block, and that man is Dr. Susan's witness, Max. A really just a spectacular man. Thank you for joining us, Max.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And we'll be back right after this.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So good. I got you. Nice. A sugar and spice. I feel nice. A sugar and spice. So nice. So nice. I got you. I feel nice, sugar and spice. So nice, so nice, I got you. When I hold you in my arms, I know that I can't do no wrong. And when I hold you in my arms, my love can't do me no harm. And I feel nice, my sugar and spice. I feel nice, my sugar and spice. I feel good. I knew that I would. So good, so good. But I got you. So good, so good. But I got you. So good, so good.
And I had so much time to sit and think about myself. And then there she was, like double cherry pie. Yeah, there she was, like disco superfly. I smell sex and candy hair. Who's that lounging in my chair? Who's that casting devious stares in my direction? Mama, this surely is a dream.
this surely is a dream. Dig it. Hanging round downtown by myself, and I've had too much caffeine, and I was thinking about myself, and then there she was. In platform double suede, yeah, there she was. Like disco lemonade. Yeah. I smell sex and can't end it here. Who's that lounging in my chair? Who's that casting devious stares in my direction? Mama, this surely is a dream, yeah. Yeah, mama, this surely is a dream, yeah. Yeah, mama, this surely is a dream, yeah. I smell sex and candy, yeah. Who's that lounging in my chair? Who's that casting devious stares in my direction? Mama, this surely is a dream. Dig it. Yeah, mama, this surely is a dream. Yeah, mama, this surely is a dream. Yeah. Yeah, mama, this must be my dream.
Welcome back. You are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman on KX93.5 FM, community-supported radio in Laguna Beach, California. We are here with Dr. Susan Block.
Hey.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey.
Dr. Susan Block is a font of useful knowledge regarding sex, sexuality, and sensuality. Fair enough?
Oh, that's more than fair. I love being your font.
I have no idea what that
Times
means.
Times Roman, Helvetica, whatever you want me to be.
Ooh, how very, very. All right, you have a magazine you are dying to talk about.
I am. It's our new baby magazine.
What's it called?
It's called Speakeasy Journal, and the first issue, the very first issue, is Splosh and Art.
Okay.
Splosh and Art.
So explain for those people out there that have no idea what sploshing is.
Okay.
Was ist los?
But first I'm going to slip in real quick that it was designed by Clemmy Cockatoo, a.k.a. Tony LeBusque, and it features Danielle Watts and Chef Be Live and Gypsy Bonobo and Ikor the Wolf and a bunch of other people, Michael Wisnew. And yes, sploshing
and
is...
And Clemmy's a great bartender, too.
That's true. We wear many hats, all of us at Bonoboville, not just me. So, sploshing is the combination of food and sex, basically using food in an erotic way.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, like, pouring it all over the body. You could, you know, just drip honey over your favorite body part and lick it off, or whipped cream. Or, you know, a plate of spaghetti, if that's what you'd rather.
And the entire magazine, this particular issue, is pretty much devoted to an artistic expression of what sploshing may look like. Is that a fair representation?
Yeah. You know, this magazine is based on our show, the Dr. Susan Block Show. And some of the issues are going to be about a whole bunch of shows. This is about one particular show, and it just takes that show and the fantastic photography and the sploshing that we were doing. That was the theme of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And we were using both organic sploshing ingredients made by Chef Be Live, as well as other not so organic stuff from Uncle Ralph.
And vegan stuff if
cream
you wanted
pies,
to.
You know,
whatever floats
you
your boat.
You know, bananas, cucumbers, big ones. Mm. So, sploshing is so much fun, partly because, you know, all of us pretty much were brought up to not play with our food. That's what mommy or daddy or whoever brings you up says, don't play with your food. Mm-hmm. But it's sort of an instinct. That's why most children want to play with their food. And so when you splosh, you break that taboo and you play with your food, which is lots of fun for some people. It's not for everybody, I have to say. Not everybody's cup of taco sauce.
Okay. And just for you guys out there, some of the ways to do this that's not going to make you go, ooh, is go out to Home Depot and buy a tarp. Go out to Toys R Us and get a big kiddie pool. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, because that way it's easy just to roll it up and toss it, and you can make all the mess you want carefree.
Yeah.
It's not my thing.
You can do it like 9.5 weeks in the bathtub. You know.
Yeah, or in front of the fridge.
And,
who cares?
You know, I think when two people just share a grape back and forth between their mouths and turn it into a very French kiss, that's flushing. It's just a little different. It's not all over you.
And is there anything in that magazine, in that about splashing, that really stands out if you go, ooh, it's really important that our listeners know, fill in the blank here?
Well, I guess don't throw a plate of spaghetti over somebody's head non-consensually. You know, I mean,
do you got a pen? I want to write that down.
You know, it's got all kinds of tips about how to splosh and what splashing is all about. I quote Dorian Sagan in here from one of his books, where he talks about how the first acts of sex were really acts of eating, like one cell would eat another cell, and at first that cell would just get subsumed into the bigger cell, but then gradually eating turned into sex, whereas the two cells would eat each other and then come up with another cell, and then the cells would stay keep their integral bodies when they would merge, instead of just one eating the other. So basically, that's one reason that when we really, really like someone or lust after someone so much that we just want to eat them up, they just taste so good, it's a kind of splashing.
If I understand you correctly, what I hear you saying is splashing is a way of accessing something primal in
very
us.
Primal. Whether we're talking about, you know, from way back in pre-human history, mm-hmm. or we're talking about from when we were little kids before we learned how to eat with knives and forks.
And when does the next issue come out?
The next issue comes out when we're done.
Okay, so it's not, there's no set time schedule. It's not quarterly, monthly at this point. It's,
I'm going to look at the publisher here. Yeah, in a couple months. In a couple of months, we're going to come out with spanking for adults only. Consensual adults only, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But spanking is maybe a little more common of a fetish, but it's still a fetish.
You think spanking is more common than
splashing?
Because I think that in a lot of ways, taking somebody out to dinner.
Yeah, if you look at it that way, I guess splashing is really common.
Yeah, it's that, I mean, how often, there was an old movie named called Tom Jones, and not the Tom Jones, the singer, but
I know
way,
that
way before that.
Yes.
And there's a scene.
It's that turkey leg looking at her. And
The entire scene is predominantly nonverbal and very visceral and very, very tactile.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do through the dating ritual is not dissimilar to that.
No, that's true. I mean, in a way, just, you know, going out to dinner and then kissing over dinner or holding hands or playing with each other while you're eating or feeding each other is a splosh experience. But the magazine features more extreme sploshing. And spanking, if you kind of think of it in a more open, not so extreme way, you could say any kind of impact play or just smacking someone lightly on the butt during missionary position, regular sex, you know, is something a lot of people do.
And is there, if you were to say that you had a mission on this planet, if you had a dharmic passion, a dharmic path around sexuality, what would that be?
Well, I certainly want to spread the bonobo way, the good news, and I really do want to save the bonobos from extinction. So I feel that's important. And I also feel that they have a very special message for us, that is that sex is important, and good sex, consensual sex, sex that empowers the females, and that's incredibly important. The bonobos are the only species of great apes in which it's pretty much equal. And the females have a lot of power. They choose their sexual partners. They are often the ones that get first dibs on the food. And they love to splosh. There's a whole section on sploshing and bonobos. Because bonobos love to combine food and sex. You know, they often have their finest orgies during lunch. They just love it. And it's pleasure. They like to share pleasures. They like to share is another important lesson that they have that I feel is my calling, if you will, to impart to people. Sharing, inclusivity, sharing resources. You know, soon we're going to run out of water on this planet, so we got to learn to share that.
Amen, sister.
And a women.
We are going to take a short break, but when we come back, Dr. Susan, if you'll indulge me.
I always love to indulge you.
You usually do.
Yeah, always.
I want to know, is there anything aside from non-consensual activities that you find to be too taboo? We'll be back with more Inner Journey and Dr. Susan Block right after this. You are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman on KX 93.5 FM. Community-supported radio in Laguna Beach, California.
but you don't help me to get my way. I know love can last 2 years, but how can love last 2 tears? I ain't that peculiar, baby.
Welcome back. You are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman. And this evening we are hanging out with Dr. Susan Block. She is one of the preeminent voices, faces, bodies in sexual expression these days. You have books you have authored. You have magazines that you have published. You have radio that has been all over the world. You have a television show that is weekly. If people want to find out more about any of your offerings, if they want to find out how they could watch your show, how would they go about doing any of this?
Well, I mean, central station is drsusanblock.com. drsusanblock.com. Okay, come to my... .com, drsusanblock.com. And from there, you can go to watch the show on drsusanblock.tv. You can also watch the show free if you become a member of Bonoboville, which is our community. You know, Facebook lost, I don't know, like how many billions of dollars? Some 118 billion. So we're going to pick it up in Bonoboville. And
good for you.
Yeah. And then we have drsusanblockinstitute.com where you find out about all of our different therapies.
Now, that's a whole other arm of this that we haven't touched on.
Let's get Army.
All right.
Not Army Navy, yeah. Just with arms. Like arms around you.
You have an entire set of offices in Los Angeles, correct?
An entire set of offices. Yes. And we have therapists without borders. We have actually got therapists all over the world who will connect with you via the phone or webcam or texting. And we see you in person. We have all different means of trying to help you to enhance your sexual pleasure and learn about sex, get answers to questions, take the boo out of taboo if it's consensual and not too dangerous. Yeah.
So if I were to go to your offices in Los Angeles and say, hey, you know, I have some sexual things I'd like to deal with. What's my experience there? What's the process of it?
Well, first of all, you can't just go to my offices in Los Angeles because we don't just let you come in. You have to call.
Mm-hmm.
And so our phone number is 310-568-0066. Anybody can call.
Do that again. More slowly. 310-568-0066.
That's got three sixes because we're little devils. That's 310-568-0066.
Okay, so I call up.
Yeah.
I say, okay, I got some things I'd like to work through.
Yeah.
What happens?
Well, the receptionist would find out as much as you want to tell the receptionist about what you want to work through. And then we put you in touch with a therapist. It could be me. It could be one of our many therapists without borders that can help you.
And I go, then I go to a
session. No, then you talk to the person.
Okay.
Then you talk. The first session is usually talking. Sometimes it's talking via webcam, and sometimes it's talking over the phone. And we do texting too, but mostly we do phone or webcam.
And then how does it progress from there?
And then it progresses from there, and sometimes, you know, all the sessions are over the phone or webcam. And sometimes you can come into our office and do some.
Do some.
Yeah. Care do something. To, something. I said something.
Something.
Something. Because sometimes you're just coming in and having another conversation with me like you have over the phone. Mm-hmm. It's just like regular psychotherapy. You know, you can even lie down on my couch or sit in my chair and talk. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes, you know, you might do erotic theater therapy, for instance, in which you do a sexual psychodrama about a particular incident that happened in your life that's very powerful and that has a lot of erotic implications for you.
And have you had a lot of success stories as a result? A lot of people that feel...
Yes.
They've found a way to incorporate their trauma so it's no longer something that's oppressive, but something that energizes
Absolutely.
them.
I have testimonials all over that website. But, you know, I mean, most people are very private about this transformation, but it's definitely transformative. I mean, it's basically the talking cure, but it can involve theater. It can involve fetish practice. It can involve all kinds of experiences. Sometimes it involves coming to the show. Sometimes it involves taking a trip. So, you know, basically people are very transformed by it, and mostly for the better, or occasionally, you know.
No, it's not for everybody. It's not. There ain't nothing that's going to work for everybody.
But it's really for an awful lot of people, because an awful lot of people from all different walks of life need to talk about sex. They just can't talk about it with the people that they know, and they can't talk about it very often with their significant other, their prime mate. Maybe because they love their prime mate so much, their spouse, that they're afraid that if they say something that's, you know, a turnoff or that's disrespectful, that, you know, they'll ruin their marriage. And so they don't want to necessarily be that kind of authentic.
Or, as you were saying before, if this person's your witness and this is, you don't necessarily want something that's underdeveloped or undeveloped to be the thing that is seen that can't be unseen of
you. Yeah, that's right. That's right. So sometimes it's good to talk to someone you don't know who's experienced, who perhaps has a degree like some of our therapists, or perhaps is a nurse or like some other of our therapists, or an actress like some of our therapists, who can help you to work this out, you know, and talk it out. And a lot of people really need that, because sex is very confusing in any day and age, but certainly in this day and age, between Trump and fake news on the one side and Me Too on the other side. I don't know if they're really on opposite sides, but sort of. And a lot of people feel very squeezed and confused by these great movements that are positive and negative in our society.
You know, and that's, I'm glad you brought that up, because it seems in some ways we have gone 20 years back in time regarding sexuality, and that we're switching to a very oppressive, must be very, very according to the contradictory Christian doctrine that's putting forth, that has nothing to do with the Bible, or nothing that has nothing to do with true dogma, but instead is something about, you know, an agenda that
an
is
agenda,
being
let's
foisted
just say
upon
the
us.
Handmaid's Tale, to be shorthand.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, there's a certain group that is putting forth almost a theocratic, fascist type of government, and I'm not saying that that's going to succeed, but that's being put forth and very sex negative. I mean, we do have a president who's obviously sexually active, although I don't think anybody said that he was good in bed, which does say something. I don't think he's a true, he's not a bonobo, he's not a true hedonist, because he doesn't seem to give his partners pleasure from their own description. But he does have a lot of sex, and he has sex with sex workers, and yet he signs SESTA FOSTA, which is purportedly to help with trafficked underage sex workers, but really doesn't do anything to help that, and just makes it very difficult for regular consensual adult sex workers to live. And he's very hypocritical about it, and he lies about it. So it really gives a lot of people what it's funny. An article we did in Cosmo was on post-Trump sex disorder, a certain kind of PTSD where you're just depressed about it and confused, because, you know, you want some positive sexual role models. And then on the other side is Me Too, which has a lot of positive aspects to it. And certainly bonobos are very female empowered. It's a very bonobo thing. But bonobos help the males to feel good. I don't know if Me Too has taken that into consideration.
That was beautiful. We're here with Dr. Susan Block. You are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman. We're going to take a short break, and unfortunately, it looks like we're going to come back for that last question of the evening. You are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman on KX 93.5 FM, community-supported radio in Laguna Beach, California. Welcome back. You are listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman. And this evening we are here with Dr. Susan Block. And I promised y'all that I would ask Dr. Susan Block, is there anything that is too taboo for you?
Well, of course, anything non-consensual, as
of
we
course.
Said.
Yes.
But, I mean, I don't have anything against you if you want to play with poop in the privacy of your area, but not in my area.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's too taboo.
So
number two. Basically,
you're saying there are certain things that you go, yeah, that doesn't just turn me on.
Well, there's a lot of things that don't turn me on that I would have on my show
mm-hmm.
or certainly encourage people to do in a therapeutic context in my institute.
Mm-hmm.
I guess certainly nothing non-consensual and no poop.
There's a bumper sticker if I've ever seen one. Nothing non-consensual and no poop.
But I will talk to you about poop, and I will talk to you about your fantasies of non-consensual sex, because a lot of people do have strong, strong fantasies about non-consensual sex, and there's nothing wrong with having the fantasy, and sometimes you need to talk about it.
Yeah, and there's a distinction that you've been very clear about, but I just want to reinforce.
Mm-hmm.
To have non-consensual fantasies is normal, is common.
Yes.
To carry out something where you are a perpetrator is never, ever appropriate. There's a distinct line between those two things.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, maybe in some societies it's common, but it's not appropriate. That's right. It's not bonobo is what I would say.
Yeah.
It's not the right thing. It's not being a good person. I think that it's so hard nowadays to just see how to be an ethical hedonist, how to enjoy sexuality and pleasure and yet be a good person. I think that that's very challenging for a lot of people between the fake news and the Me Too and the Donald Trump.
We have come to that sad, sad place, the last question of the evening.
Okay.
That time for you to share parting words of wisdom.
The climax.
Or a shameless promotion plug, or my favorite, the combo platter. Is there anything that you'd feel remiss in not sharing with our listeners this evening?
Oh, gosh. I mean, there's so many things that I love to share with your listeners. I just love sharing. I just do want to encourage you to get The Speakeasy, our new magazine. It is a print magazine. You can also get it in Kindle. We're actually putting it together in Kindle, but we're bringing back print because the internet, you know, it steals your soul. I mean, print does destroy trees, and we feel bad about that. But there's something about holding it in your hands and that new magazine smell that I just love. So Speakeasy Journal, yeah, and Bonobo Way Play.
Beautiful. And any parting words of wisdom?
Follow your sexual heart. You know, make it consensual, but don't censor yourself because you're afraid of what people might think. If you want to talk to me about it, I'm here.
And as always, I am thrilled to find you wise and find out more about you and Max and your expressions of how to be service in a sexual venue. It is really a gorgeous thing. So thank you very much for joining us. You are always a pleasure to spend time with, as you are as well, Max. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Third time's the charm.
And you have been listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman on KX93.5 FM, community-supported radio in Laguna Beach, California. If you want to find us on the internet, it's pretty simple. Inner Journey with Greg Friedman. We have a ton of people that work their tushmos off to help us every week to put on the show for you. Hugely grateful to you guys. Thank you for that. And as always, I feel it's incredibly important for you to know this show does not exist without you, the listening audience. For that, and so, so much more, we are hugely grateful. You've been listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman. Good night.
I am Subong Pusome, and you have been listening to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman.